Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
I get really excited when I find out about a medical doctor, Western medical doctor, who actually really cares about the environment and toxicity and toxic issues in your life. And so I am so glad to have, or we're so glad to have, Dr. Stuart Lonnke on the show. Today he's going to talk about four steps to a toxic-free life. Dr. Lonnke, hello.
Hi, how are you? Good to be here.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on the show. You know, I'd love to know, because you're a board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary and critical care medicine. How did you go from that? Or it actually sounds like with the pulmonary medicine that it actually relates to toxic substances and how harmful they can be.
It did. Actually, I began getting referrals of patients to me about 15 years ago, maybe even more than that, that had various different exposures. The question as to whether or not these exposures really were the cause of their asthma, particularly asthma. Some of them developed a scarring in their lungs. And in the time it took for me to take a look into this, and since they were legal cases, I had to look at both sides of the issue, I began to realize that exposures to certain agents, fine particles, various chemicals, things that are persistent in our environment, and even heavy metals, these things occur naturally every day. And that began to fascinate me, because I began to realize that you can accumulate a fair amount of toxic material even if you're exposed to what the EPA and other agencies consider to be acceptable levels. If you're exposed on a daily basis, you can begin to accumulate. And that was what fascinated me.
So in the work, have you found that, you know, obviously on a regular basis, is it sometimes, and I'm guessing everybody's really different, but would it be, what would these relate to? So if they're exposed to these chemicals, obviously to certain illnesses, were there certain illnesses were more apparent than others that you found in your research?
Well, it depends. It depends on the age group. It depends on the age group. I see some young women who have been, and men who have been unable to conceive. And a lot of that, I see more and more of that, and they're wondering whether any toxic exposure that they had may have played a role. I see adults who have developed different kinds of cancers who have been exposed. And just think of the World Trade Center and the exposure to benzene. There was a massive exposure to benzene, so that was an experiment in a bottle, if you will. Actually, we are exposed to benzene if we work at a service station very slowly over a number of years. You can think back. I can think back to when I was younger. There were attendants who used to actually pump the gas. They would come to your car, clean your windshield, pump the gas. They did that all day long. They were exposed to very small amounts of benzene on a regular basis. And if you take a look at some of the data, you'll find that the incidence of things like leukemias and lymphomas and other bone marrow type and blood type cancers were much higher in that group.
So let me ask you a question, Dr. Lonnke, and it's interesting that you brought up the gasoline. So I have two questions, actually. So for those people, would they could it accumulate in their system and then happen years later, or is it something that you that they were seeing on while they were pumping that gas, while they were exposed to it during a specific time period?
I think the first of your statements is the most accurate. What we see, and we don't really understand all of the metabolic abnormalities that occur, for example, in the bone marrow along different bloodlines like lymphoma and leukemias, but we do know that it's the slow accumulation of these chemicals, which, by the way, the liver, you know, the liver has the job of trying to basically decontaminate or detoxify all of these toxins that come into your body, whether you inhale them, whether you eat them because they fall on your food and they're on your hands and you wind up eating a sandwich and that's how they get into your body, or whether for women they come through your skin with makeup. Whatever the reason that they get in your body, the liver's job is to detoxify. But the liver is pretty busy during the day, and it may not get to detoxify everything that's in your bloodstream. And the body is very efficient in taking those leftovers from today and tucking them away, either in a tissue for things like lead, putting it in your bone, or things like benzene and putting it in your fat because it's fat soluble. And it says, I'll get to you tomorrow. You know what the problem is? You wake up tomorrow, it's another day, and you're exposed all over again. So we never get to tomorrow. We really never get to breaking down the stuff that was left over. In fact, what we do is we store an accumulation, and this really leads into the four steps. The first step in leading a toxin-free life is to accept what I'm saying to you, that we are exposed to small amounts on a daily basis, and we have to accept it. That's the A of AIPE, APE. Accept the fact that today you went and almost 3 days a week, you go to a bakery that uses nonstick pots or cookware or baking pans. And so a little bit of PFOA, perfluorooctanoic acid, a known carcinogen, a hormone disruptor, is you're eating it. Very small amount. The amount of that, you could argue, is infinitesimally small. It's parts per billion or parts per trillion. You know what the problem is? It is an organic chemical that the liver has to work hard to break down, and it probably will store it in fat tissue. Now, that fat tissue, over a period of time, what we know about fat is fat isn't just this glob that, well, for some of us it is. It just sits there and we wish it would go away. It's also a metabolically active organ. So fat cells are actively exchanging these chemicals into the bloodstream, and once you hit a critical level, then you start to see tissue effects, and that's what we're talking about.
So what would be ways that people, obviously, I mean, for people who are listening, and, you know, I have a personal story, which I won't share now. I'll share it next time, hopefully when you're on the show. For those of us who are listening going, oh my gosh, I've been exposed, we're exposed on a regular basis. Some of us who, let's say, have been exposed to more of it at once. What could we do to detox our body and get it out of those tissues so that we prevent things from happening down the road?
That's a great question. And the A is to accept. And the I in APE, A-I-P-E, is to begin to identify those things in your life that you're being exposed to. Take a look at your makeup line. Take a look at the environmentalworkinggroup.org website and take a look at the makeups that have high levels of toxins and try to exchange. Do the best you can about doing things to try and get rid of those things in your household, the household cleaners. Identify and decrease the amount of exposure you have. The third thing is to prevent. Prevent the absorption. Prevent is taking those things out of your house, taking those things out of your life. And there are a number of binding agents. Most, 80% of the toxins in our body come from our GI tract. We eat them. Mm-hmm. We inhale some. We get
pesticides,
some through the skin.
But...
Yeah, but most of it we eat. And the thing about that is we can eat certain binders. There are some toxic binders that are present, charcoal, activated charcoal, so on and so forth.
Because we're running out of time.
Okay, and the last point is eliminate. There are some chelating agents that are on the market that we can begin to take that will actually bring these toxins out of our body and help us excrete them in the urine.
This is what I want to talk about. We're unfortunately out of time for today, and I'm just loving this conversation. We want you to come back on really soon, but I do want to give people what those are. If we could email you and perhaps we can put them up on Naturally Savvy, I'd love to let people know what they are. And then I want to do a show around it because I think the last two parts of APE are important. I'm Andrea Donsky, and you can find out more about Dr. Lonkey at stuartlonkey.com and at LonkeyMD on Twitter. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.